Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Takeology with your three boys in the lab so you can do the cooking. I hope we're having a great day out there. It is just two of us again, but I got my boy Matt McDonald here. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Another Chiefs win, another fantasy win. What more can we ask for?
You hate to hear it. You know, I figured they'd beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'll say it now just to get it out there. Broncos Nation next week. They're coming for you. They're coming for you, Matt. It's inevitable.
You've said that every week.
I have been wrong every week on it. I understand, but this is the one.
I don't know when you're going to learn your lesson on the Chiefs.
They just keep doing it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just Patrick Mahomes is that good.
That is it. And then it's a dynasty, dude. What more can you say?
You know, when Patrick Mahomes fell down and I thought it was over for the Chiefs.
Dude, my heart, my wife can attest, dude. I was in a bad way for about 10 minutes. And then he comes running out of the medical tent like Superman. Oh, my gosh.
It was all publicity. They just wanted to make him look even better. That's all it is. That man was
tough as nails. He's tough as nails.
I just don't understand. The Chiefs are just – what? They're 9-0. 8-0? They had a bye. Yeah, they already hit their bye. I mean, what more can you ask for a team? This is the best chance they have to three-peat, like, ever. So, got to do it. That's why they should have went and got Mike Williams.
I think we got a little better receiver than Mike Williams.
Maybe. We'll see. Speaking of that, you know what? We're going to go ahead and jump into this lab report. I mean, there's a lot. Trade deadline is done, right? Mike Williams is the biggest thing on the trade market here for the last few days. Going to the Steelers, do you think you think that's a good move?
I mean, for their team, yes. For fantasy, no. It's not. He was kind of irrelevant in the Jets. He's kind of irrelevant with the Steelers, I think, as well. I think he'll probably be a deep threat, but other than that, you know who the guys are there. They're going to run the crap out of the ball with Najee, and he actually looks pretty good this year. And then Pickens, he's going to get a huge target share. And then you got like Freiermuth mixed in there. So I think it's a better situation than the Jets, but I don't think he's really going to be relevant unless you're in a super deep league.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Calvin Austin's also good on the team. So really it's just kind of like you're waiting to see how it goes. I know this doesn't sound like a lot, but – Jonathan Mingo going to the Dallas Cowboys, I thought was some cool news to see. I mean, he was a Georgia Bulldog, but he's not a bad receiver. He's just been on a bad team. I think people are writing him off already. I mean, what do you think? Do you think he'll bring something to the table for the Cowboys? Huh?
I mean, I saw the stat, and over his career in the NFL, he's got 500 receiving yards. So, I mean, that doesn't boost much confidence in him, But I mean, he was on an awful team with bad quarterback play. So I mean the Cowboys are bad too. But yeah. if this is a future play where he can play with Dak later this season and the next season, I mean the Cowboys need receiver help. So hopefully he becomes the guy. I mean, he was a high draft. I think he was a second round draft pick. Hopefully, I mean, just for him, I hope he succeeds. But I mean, Dallas isn't just an amazing situation right now either.
They're booty butt right now. And on top of that, Dak Prescott, it looks like – I don't think it's out for the season. I may have saw something that looked like that, but it's week to week right now for him.
He actually got put on IR. I don't know if you saw that. It's at least 4 weeks, and they've already said that Cooper Rush is going to be their starter. So, he's a decent backup quarterback, but you got your three best defensive players out with injury. CeeDee Lamb hurt his shoulder. You don't know if he's going to play. Their running back situation is terrible. A lot of people thought they were going to make a move there, but they didn't. So it looks like it's going to be Rico Dowdle. But I don't know. It's so weird. They give Zeke snaps 1 week, and then last week he didn't have any. So Rico Dowdle is going to be a hard guy to trust on a week-to-week basis. But I don't know. I think it's going to be a situation where it's CeeDee Lamb, and that's about it.
They've also got Dalvin Cook. Not that that helps the situation, to be honest. But I just wanted to throw it out there.
That dude, the fact that they have him, it says a lot about their running back.
It's an issue, yeah. On top of all the different trades that went around, Khalil Herbert, huh? To the Bengals. Low-key, I think this is a bit of a sneaky trade that honestly he could do well at the Bengals. Khalil Herbert's not a trashy running back. He's just had a lot of – he's had to fight for the backfield for a long time. I mean, with David Montgomery back there, DeAndre Swift, and now Zach Moss is on IR. Well, he's out for the season, actually, which, I mean, kind of puts him on IR, I guess. So do you think with this move with Khalil Herbert, will it take away reps or snaps from Chase Brown?
I mean, yes. You saw it when Zach Moss was full health. It was kind of a split backfield. I think Chase Brown has proven himself to where he's going to be the lead guy. I don't think it really matters what Khalil Herbert does. He's just going to be the backup. But I think it will be like a 60-40 split. So it definitely hurts Chase for the rest of the season. Yeah. But, I mean, it's good for the Bengals. It's a quality running back they got. The thing I'm discouraged about is Joe Burrow is throwing so many red zone passes. And with them bolstering the running back room, I'm hoping that doesn't take away from his, I mean, he's leading the league in touchdown passes in the red zone. Like he's just tossing the ball when they get down there. Yeah. So hopefully they don't just run the ball a ton now, but I don't think Khalil Herbert's really going to move the spectrum. I think he's just going to be a compliment to Chase Brown. So I think Chase Brown will still be fine.
That's valid. I feel like Zach Moss was the runner of the team and Chase Brown was a passing down, so they may kind of continue that. But Chase Brown looked good the last few weeks without Zach Moss. So, I mean, and what, Joe Burrow had 5 touchdowns? Is that right?
Yeah, I should have had 6. One was dropped. So that's the part that I'm not super happy about. Just I don't think Khalil Herbert's really going to factor in there. But if he comes in and starts showing out, like, I mean, he's a capable running back. He's got talent. So I'm hoping that they don't just hand him the ball off in the red zone when they get – I mean, they've been on the 1 yard line and they're still passing it. So hopefully that doesn't stop happening. Cause I've got Joe and I'm very pleased with how the season's going.
You didn't mean to, but it's panned out, I guess, huh? Joey B.
It's panned out for me.
Kyler Murray's actually been cheeks. So honestly, it's been better for you. So I know Avery has that piece, but you know, just to say the word Avery, let's talk about this. You had one of the both of us really had a nail-biting fantasy matchup. How does it feel to be a winner this weekend with me here, finally? I mean, you've experienced it more than I have, but about time, huh?
It feels great, yeah, because if I lost this week, I kind of would have been out of the running for the one seed. The one seed in our league, 7-2, I just got to 6-3, and really I didn't deserve it. My team played like crap. I think I won with 99 points. And I had guys on my bench that outscored my starters by like 20 points. But that just goes and shows you you're never out in fantasy football. I mean, you had like a 95% chance of winning or something like that. And then Kelsey and Kate Otten just went off. So We were both sweating last night. I'm glad we're here today on top.
Thank God, dude. Listen, I think I was up. It was like 78 to 112. And I was like, there's no way two tight ends pull this off. And then the final score was 111 to 112. I mean, talk about fantasy football is crazy. You never really
out. I mean, Kelce makes it one more yard and it's a bad day for you. So, yeah, it's a thrilling game. It really is. Yeah. That was a great game last night.
I might not have been here today if it was if he got that touchdown. I might have been struggling.
I wouldn't have blamed you.
Yeah, but quick shout out election day, huh? So we'll see how that goes too, huh?
Yeah. It's a nail biter, just like fantasy football.
Fantasy football is just as tight as what it'll be today. All right, we're gonna jump into these games real quick. We're gonna start with a game that might take the rest of this time. I just figured why not start hot here because of the Chiefs win. Chiefs 30-24. The highlight to me of this game, honestly, well, I guess there's two highlights. Obviously, Kareem Hunt did what he did, right? Patrick Mahomes, to me, the highlight is of this game that he finally looked fantasy relevant. 24 fantasy points, not bad. Threw three touchdowns. I know it took overtime to do it, but the benefactor of that was DeAndre Hopkins, right? Two touchdowns against this game. I know it's a bad defense. My question to you is, do you think DeAndre Hopkins, after seeing this game, is now somebody who you should like receiver one, receiver two kind of question? I mean, because he's on such a good team.
Yeah. I think yesterday was a little inflated just because of that deep pass he caught. I mean, that was triple coverage and Patrick put it in the only place he could have. Now, DeAndre Hopkins, he's a lot slower than he used to be, but he's still got some of the surest hands in the league. He's going to catch it if it's in his vicinity. So I think his yardage was a bit more than it's going to be on a weekly basis. But I think what's very encouraging is he's heavily used on third down and in the red zone. I mean, we saw both his touchdowns on third down in the red zone. I think he's going to be heavily targeted down there. And just to touch on Kelce as well, Hopkins being in there has changed the game for Travis. I mean, he's still doubled on a lot of these plays, but he is the type of player that you're going to have to triple him or bracket him, or he's going to get catches. And last night, the touchdown wasn't there, but, man, he caught a lot of balls. And that's super encouraging if you have Kelce in fantasy. But back to Hopkins, he looked good. I think it's going to not be to this level on a week-to-week basis. So I would comfortably say he's going to be like a wide receiver two. Not, I don't think he'll be a one, but I think like tough matchups are going to hurt him. He's not as fast as he used to be, so he struggles separating as well. But Patrick Mahomes is the type of quarterback, if he has an ounce of separation, he's going to get him the ball. That's why I think he's easily a wide receiver two. I mean, we have Mecole Hardman making plays on this team. So if we have D-Hop just get a couple inches of separation, Mahomes is going to get him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if you're anywhere of a competent, like legit receiver, Patrick Mahomes can make you relevant. I mean, to me, I kind of thought DeAndre Hopkins would kind of look like the Rashee Rice. Like look up that kind of value with nine targets. I mean, I hope it continues. Even though I traded him away, I do hope it continues just because I like DeAndre Hopkins as a receiver. On the Buccaneers side real fast, Kate Otten, dude. Yeah, there's no way he should be on waivers at this point just because he's played so well. But if he is out there, you got to go grab him at this point because even with Mike Evans possibly coming back, he's going to be the number two guy or the number one guy on this team. And it's very obvious. I mean, against a good Chiefs defense, I mean, I know they like let up a lot for the tight ends. This dude ate. I mean, how many yards was it? 77 yards and touchdowns, 11 targets. That's crazy. You know?
So, yeah, the offense has ran through him. It really is. And without these top receivers, he's going to be getting 8-plus targets a game. And he is on the field legitimately the whole game. Mm-hmm. He is going to be out there, and he's going to get targeted. And like you said, I would almost guarantee he's not on the waiver wire, but by some stroke of luck, if he is, if it's a fab system, put all your fab on it. If it's just waiver priority, just pick him up if you can, because he's legitimately a league winner without these receivers. And Mike Evans, I know it's just a hamstring, but he has hamstrings all the time. If this is something that could flare back up, and Otten could be a league winner for the rest of the season, so. He's going to be phenomenal. And I just for a second, Baker Mayfield, he has looked amazing. I mean, he took Patrick Mahomes to the ropes, and he doesn't have any receivers on this team. Palmer was making plays on any other team, with the exception of maybe the Chiefs. He's irrelevant. So Baker making it work with this cast around him, it's just so impressive. And I'm very happy for him because it looked like he was on the way out of the league, and now he's found a home, and he's playing fantastic.
The Bake Show. I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I just love his attitude and how he plays the game, just like how he approaches it. His style is fun to me. So I'm glad he's doing good. I believed in him a long time ago, and I was hated on for it. But you know what? It's turned around. Sometimes you just got to stick it out. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I even liked him on the Browns and the Rams and the Panthers. So he was cheeks on those teams, but I'm glad it's turned around. Real quickly, we'll talk about this game, not because I want to, but because it'll be a fast game to talk about. Atlanta Falcons versus Cowboys. The Cowboys suck. Plain and simple. They're just bad. And I honestly don't know how they can be this bad with the talent that they have. I mean, Jake Ferguson kind of thrived in this game just based on targets because CD went down. But on the other side here, the Falcons, Darnell Mooney might be the steal of – I don't think people drafted him, honestly. I mean, they might have, but I think he's a steal off the waivers. I mean, what do you think about this Falcons team? Do you think they're legit? I mean, 6-3, it's not bad.
I mean, I think they're legitimately good, yes. I don't think they're a contender, but they're definitely a playoff team. The addition of Judon on that defense has completely turned it around. They look great. And then this running back group here, you've kind of seen it. Bijan goes hot and cold, but as of recently, he's been very hot, and he's been very good for fantasy. He's kind of the guy you expected as coming into the season. As high of a draft pick as he was, people were disappointed. But now he's playing fantastic. And Kirk Cousins, give him all the praise, man. He's playing lights out. When they need him to throw, he is doing it to the highest ability. He is fantastic. And then Darnell Mooney, like you said, no one drafted him. You're right. He was a waiver pickup week one. And I think he legitimately is the steal of the waivers. Like last year it was Puka. This year it's Darnell Mooney. He looks great. And I mean, you're gonna want a piece of this team. The only downside was Kyle Pitts. But I think everybody has grown to know Kyle Pitts. He's going to be hot. He's going to be cold. You kind of just have to expect it. And then Drake London, he had a hip injury this game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unknown on the severity of that. So that's just something to keep your eye on as the season plays out.
I would agree with you. I like this Falcons team. I really do. I'm a fan of Kirk Cousins. I guess I have a lot of players I like in the league. But I'm glad he's doing well and this team looks good. And I'm sure you were thankful Kyle Pitts was cheeks.
Well, I was very thankful.
Yeah.
If he even puts up a point, I lose.
Yeah, you're thinking of old Kyle Pitts. 1.6 is awful. But that's what you're going to get from the guy.
I mean, that people knew that drafting him. So that's just part of the Kyle Pitts show.
He's done better this year, though, which is a good side of that. All right, I want to jump to this next game here and kind of throw you 2 points, okay? Jets versus Texans. I want your opinion. Obviously, we know the Jets to me are also cheeks. But Breece Hall, I want you to talk about Breece Hall. 9 fantasy points is awful from a guy that's high. I mean, to me, I feel like where you drafted Breece Hall, you're not as happy as production this year, personally. And I do think it'll kind of continue to decrease. But how do you feel? I mean, CJ Stroud is not the guy we thought he was going to be this year. So, I mean, tell me what you think about that. Personally, I'm out on CJ Stroud just because he's played so bad the last few weeks, at least for fantasy purposes. I know people will be starting this guy. But on the Jets side, I mean, tell me about Breece Hall and talk to me about some CJ Stroud.
Yeah, so starting with CJ, it's tough because he had such lofty expectations coming into this year because of how well he played last year. But, I mean, he's a young quarterback still learning how to play in the NFL. And when you lose your top two receivers, I know Stephon Diggs was recent, but Nico Collins, I think it's shown he means so much to this offense opening it up downfield. And without him, CJ has basically shown he's not a guy that you can start in fantasy, which is tough because people drafted him so high. But if Nico's not on the field, I wouldn't play Stroud. I mean, I would play Darnold over him. I'd play a lot of guys over him. So I think CJ's out until Nico comes back, which he should come back this week. He's projected to. But it's just you're going to have to wait and see and wait until CJ proves it on the field until I would start him anyways. On the Jets side, it's just tough. I mean, he's getting the carries that you want as far as Breece Hall goes. He's still a pretty efficient back. I mean, he averaged 4.9 yards per carry. So it's not like he played bad. It's just when they're getting in the red zone, they're either not coming through with a touchdown or with the addition of Devontae Adams, the rapport he has with Rodgers, he's getting targeted a ton. Garrett Wilson is a huge target in the red zone. And then also Braylon Allen actually comes in a lot of these red zone snaps. Mm-hmm. So they're utilizing Breece Hall heavily in the middle of the field. But when they get in the red zone, if it's just a man-on-man fight to get in the end zone, Braylon Allen's going to be in because he's a much more capable back when it comes to getting into the end zone, which right. He didn't play well this game. He only had 4 carries. But Breece Hall is just a huge disappointment because you drafted him so high, and no one expected Braylon Allen to be involved like he is. But I think a lot of Breece Hall's struggles is just the fact that the Jets stink. They're not a good team. And with the addition of Devontae Adams, they're just going to be throwing the ball more. So I think it's a huge downgrade for Breece. And he's a good player, but he's not going to have boom weeks like we expected coming into the season. He's going to get you that 9 to 10 points a game.
Yeah. I think what elevated him so much last year was because they were so bad, but also they ran the offense through him. I mean, Zach Wilson threw him that ball every chance he got out of the backfield. Kind of like an Alvin Kamara effect, like a PPR machine. So it's been kind of unique to see with the Aaron Rodgers throwing it deeper, obviously, and up the middle. It's kind of lost some value to Breece Hall. On the Texas side, though, I think I agree with you there. You're sitting C.J. Stroud unless Nico comes back. You're starting Joe Mixon every day, all day. That man is a dog. I've loved seeing him pop off. So that's been nice to see. All right, Ravens, Broncos. Now, I know I said the Broncos are going to beat the Chiefs, and this does not help my argument. But although they lost, my boy Bo Nix still had 17 fantasy points, threw for 223 yards, 6 carries. I mean, you know, he's doing what he does. So don't sleep on Bo Nix next week against the Chiefs, all right? I've got him slapping him around. On this, Deontay Johnson's now a Raven, right? Lamar's Lamar. Derrick Henry's still doing King Henry. I honestly thought Deontay Johnson would affect Zay Flowers a lot. I mean, I know it was the first game, but clearly I was wrong. 5 for 6, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns from Zay Flowers. What the heck? You know what I mean? I mean, real quickly, what do you think about Mr. Zay Flowers here?
He's a very capable receiver. The tough part with him is he does a lot of it. Like, he only had 6 targets this game, so he does a lot of it. Just he gets a target, and he's so good after the catch. So that's part of it. Now, this bad the Broncos just aren't. I'll keep my pick. I just don't think they're ready yet to be up to par with these teams. Now, they have a great defense. Bo Nix is playing well for a rookie quarterback. I'm not denying that. But next week, I've told you this. I think this is a trap game kind of for the Chiefs. The Bills game's right after it. I guarantee they're more focused on the Bills than they are the Broncos.
Yeah.
But this is not a game I would play Bo Nix. Our defense is really good at getting to the quarterback, and I just wouldn't play him there. But they might beat us. Now, as far as this game goes, the Ravens got up early. They got to running the ball. I mean, when you have a running back like Derrick Henry, how wrong I was on him, dude. He looks like a spring chicken. He looks so good. I mean, his touchdown, you can guarantee on a touchdown every single game.
Yeah.
More times than not, double, which, I mean, you're ecstatic about him. Lamar's playing at a high level. But you saw last week that the Ravens can lose to anybody. So it's really – they're a weird team. They win in such dramatic fashion, and then they just lose to a bad team. Yep. But I will give your Broncos credit. Bo Nix is playing good. They did get curb stomped here, but, I mean, that's going to happen against a team like the Ravens. Now, the guy I want to talk about is Courtland Sutton. This dude looks like a number one – the past 2 weeks he's had over 100 receiving yards. Mm-hmm. He looks really good. He looks like at least a wide receiver too. Yeah. I don't want to overstate it, but if Bo Nix is going to target him at this rate, I think he's a guy you can play comfortably on a week-to-week basis. Now, next week's the kind of exception. I mean, he's gonna have McDuffie on him, so I'd probably sit him next week. But I think the Broncos are on an uptick. They look like a good team. It's just they're gonna run into a really good team next week, so I'd temper the expectations.
That's a fair point. Honestly, it is. The Courtland Sutton is kind of sneaky. I mean, you don't even realize that this dude's kind of popped off here recently. I think finally they've realized they need to give him the ball because he is the number one guy there. He wasn't targeted the first half of the season. I did want to say real quick, I was reading a report. Audric Estime is supposed to be getting more work in this backfield, which automatically affects Javonte Williams. Not that you've been starting the guy anyways. He had one good game. But this backfield, you just want to stay away from it, period. The only people you kind of want from this offense would be maybe Courtland Sutton and for sure Bo Nix. So that's kind of how that is. We'll talk about one more game, and then we'll do some quick waiver wires. And then we got a little short episode today. So we'll be back. Hopefully we'll be back. What, Thursday's the plan, I'm hoping. We said that last week, and here we are again today, Tuesday. So we'll see how that goes. But real quick, let's talk about some Buffalo Bills. Huh? Dolphins game, 30-27. Bills pulled out. Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. But to me, the highlight here is Ray Davis, which also ties into the waiver wire ad here. I mean, this guy, off of very minimal work on this team, has turned it into something. So if for any reason James Cook got hurt, which is possible, it's already happened this year, Ray Davis to me is that next up guy. So that's one side of it. And then obviously the Dolphins kind of finally are starting to look a little bit like they used to. Tua's got his second game back. Tyreek, 4 for 5, 80 yards. How are we feeling about this game?
I mean, the Bills look really good. They sort of got lucky this game, winning on a 60-yard field goal. But that, I mean, these kickers are so good in the NFL now. It seems like that's a reoccurring thing every single week. So you got to give them props. I was going to say, as of recently, the Bills have been throwing the ball a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it's great if you're a Josh Allen owner. I mean, I think he's fifth in quarterback rating this year in fantasy, so he's playing great. James Cook, they were up a lot this game. They're passing a lot, so I don't want to read into it too much, but you're right. Ray Davis has ate into these carries a little bit. And, I mean, he only had 4 this game, but James Cook only had 10. And Ray Davis looked like the more explosive back. Now, I know James Cook's coming off a turf toe injury, so that's going to be painful. So it's going to take him a little bit to come back. But you're right. If James Cook ever gets hurt again this season, Ray Davis is like almost an automatic running back 1. Yeah, so I think with how the state of the waiver wire is this week, I would understand picking up these insurance backs in a heartbeat. I mean, this guy could win you a week if James Cook ever got hurt. So I wouldn't be opposed to picking him up. And the Dolphins, their offense looks good, but man, they're nearly out of it this year. I mean, at 2-6, it's going to be a tough hill to climb. And the thing I really wanted to focus on was what the heck is up with Jaylen Waddle? This dude, he is literally, without that touchdown in this game, he is completely irrelevant. He had negative receiving yards for the game, which is almost unheard of for a guy of his talent. So going forward, unless he starts to prove it on the field, I don't even think Jaylen Waddle is a startable asset until things change. I mean, Jonnu Smith has become a much more involved pass catcher in this offense, and Devon Achan has just exploded since Tua came back. And Tyreek Hill he's Tyreek Hill. He's going to get his yards, but Jaylen Waddle has been a huge question mark, and now Odell's coming back, so that's going to take away as well. So it's just a really weird thing for a guy of his caliber not to even be involved at all.
I completely forgot about Odell Beckham. The fact that you said that, I was just like, wait a second, you're right. Guy had 3 catches for 15 yards. So Jaylen Waddle honestly might be a guy that you just kind of end up dropping, like Anthony Richardson this last week with the Joe Flacco start, which is just insane when you spend such a high pick on the guy. Just a weird week. But we'll talk more about the rest of the games, maybe the rest of this week. Those were some of the ones we wanted to highlight. But waiver wire ads, to me, there's not a lot out there right now, really. It's kind of at that point of the season where you got the guys. But I think the number one guy right now is Xavier Leggett. And I know that sounds awful, but with Jonathan Mingo leaving, You now have Deontay Johnson gone. This guy is an end zone threat, and he's not rostered in a lot of the leagues. I would say him and Quentin Johnson is another guy that I'm big on out there. I said it earlier in the year. Justin Herbert is looking a lot better these last few games, and he's finally back. So he's an end zone target as well. So just on upside with the potential to get end zone targets from these guys, to me, they're big waiver wire ads.
Yeah, I agree. Quentin Johnson, he's quietly been really good this season. Without that injury, he would be on pace for like 900 yards. So after last season, you have to be ecstatic because he was almost just dropped for dead last year. Like he looked terrible. And the coach has shown interest in him and is complimentary of him. So, I mean, I don't know if that's helping psychologically, but he just looks like a completely different receiver. I agree with that one. I agree with what the heck?
Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The guys I was wanting to talk about, since the receivers are kind of in, I mean, there's guys you can pick up, but they're not going to be league winners by any means. Right. I was thinking insurance running backs because there's not many options out there on the waiver wire. I'm talking about guys like Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, as you pointed out, Trey Benson on the Cardinals. You've got these running back ones that are injury prone. And if one of them gets hurt, these insurance backs can legitimately be a huge piece of your team. Not to mention Zach Charbonnet, if the bone zone ever gets hurt. I mean, these are guys that could win you weeks, and they're just out there on the waiver wire for free. And you're later in the season, so I wouldn't care at all putting one of these guys on your bench. Just for insurance, like I have James Conner, for example. I'll probably pick him up, just Trey Benson I'm talking about, just for the fact that James Conner has never played a full season. Yeah. And I think if freaking any of these starting running backs get hurt, these guys can come in immediately, just be a plug-and-play guy that can win you a week.
Yeah. Be careful of Imari DeMarcado, though.
He's just there for passing downs.
That made me so mad last year. I had the opportunity to get him, and I was like, man, this is going to be a steal. And the dude got like 3 points the next week, and I started him.
Everybody was disappointed in that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of fantasy football. It's like Tank Bigsby. You know, he helped me out a little bit this year, but now he's kind of irrelevant again.
That's a weird situation.
Yeah,
that team just sucks. And I'm on the side that I think Trevor Lawrence is a pretty good quarterback, but I just can't figure out what the heck is. I don't know if it's the coach. Or just the fact that the defense is so bad. But usually when the defense is that bad, it leads to good offensive days. So I don't know what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, that is a sneaky waiver wire pick as well. The dude's had like 20 fantasy points like every game almost, it feels like. And nobody, I think, realizes that. And he even's done it without – I don't think they had Gabe Davis last week. Or they don't have Christian Kirk for the rest of the year. I know Brian Thomas is a dog and Evan Ingram. But watch out for Trevor Lawrence, for sure.
They're just down so much that they're having to chuck the ball every game. And yep. Trevor lost the game for him on a pick in the end zone. But I mean, he's getting put in situations where he has to do that. So I think it's great for Evan Ingram though. I mean, he's going to get peppered.
He had 10 targets.
Do you think the Jags will win 5 games? No, I don't. I think Doug Peterson's on his way out. One more loss, he could be fired. I mean, I legitimately think this is one of the worst teams in the NFL, which is crazy because they have such a good quarterback. I mean, I'm not going to go overboard. He's not an all-star by any means, but Trevor Lawrence is a quality starting quarterback.
Do you think he does better somewhere else?
Trevor?
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You give him a receiver like CeeDee Lamb – which Brian Thomas, he could become a high caliber receiver in the league, but he is. I mean, the first year he had Urban Meyer, one of the worst coaching experiences of our lifetime. Ever. And you would have thought Doug Peterson would work, but it just hasn't.
I mean, he threw 16 passes and had 169 yards, ended up with 19 fantasy points. It's not bad.
He's had like a rushing touchdown and.
Oh, he had two rushing touchdowns.
He's been rushing the ball a lot. I don't know if that's because Tank Bigsby's so bad in the red zone or what, but he's been rushing the ball well.
Who do they play next week? I mean, that's kind of helpful too. Yeah. I don't think they'll win five games, not with the injuries.
I don't. If they would have made a move at the deadline to maybe get somebody on the defense, but their defense is historically bad.
Javon Walker.
They play the Vikings. They're going to get dog walked next week.
Vikings are nasty this year.
Yeah, they have a great defense. I would not be excited to play. I mean, I'm going to play Evan Engram just because of the amount of targets he'll get, but geez Louise, they're going to get their butt kicked in.
Yeah, huge Vikings. Just like the Lions. Lions have been crazy this year too. It's what a year it's been.
The Chiefs too. Don't forget about them.
I'm just tired of talking about them. I don't know. It's just, you know, they're always winning.
That's a Patrick good Mahomes thing.
Gets hurt, you know what I mean?
He just rolled his ankle, dude. Lay off.
Dude, they're glazing this guy, dude. Literally lays in the medical tent. He's just jogging. And the game's going on, and they're just recording Patrick Mahomes jogging. Like, I want to watch football, you know what I mean?
Dude, this guy's the face of the league. What are you talking about?
I loved the Kermit the Frog that was hilarious at Las Vegas. But
what happened to the Raiders after that?
Didn't work. Minshew magic no longer. I don't know.
We're inevitable, Alex. I don't know what else there is to say.
I'm telling you, dude, I think you guys can win it all. I hate to say that, but I think you can. Pacheco coming back.
You think we can?
I think you can. Well, you never know. The Lions are electric, dude.
I'm not going to deny the Lions are good. I'm not denying that. But we're getting Pacheco back. We're going to have Hollywood Brown in the playoffs.
Is he coming back?
Yeah, for the playoffs. I mean, we're talking about D-Hop, Hollywood Brown, Pacheco, Kelsey. And then you add Juju just as a third receiver. I mean, good Lord.
That doesn't sound bad. But,
sound bad. It sounds phenomenal.
I don't know, dude. Amon Ross, St. Brown, Sam Laporta, who sucked this year, but it is what it is.
What a disappointment! It is. Yeah, thank God we didn't draft him high.
I would have been in a pickle for sure. I had some awful draft picks this year. My team's not. I don't even think I have the same team at all. Essentially,
hey, you're in it.
I turned it around though. That's all manager work right there. Because man, it was bad. Anthony Richardson, Travis Etienne. Michael Pittman Jr., it's just been awful. It's just been awful. Thank God for trades and stupid trades too. Well, that brings us to the end today. A little bit of a shorter episode. Probably the shortest episode we've ever had, honestly. We're just yappers.
We do a lot of yapping.
I mean, we could sit here, I think, all day and talk about football, which is a good thing. But get out there, watch the election, right? See who wins it. This gives you time to go see who's in the lead. I don't know who's in the lead right now. It'll probably change by the time we get off. It is. Who's in the lead?
I can't see it. What's it say?
Do we have a breaking news?
113 for her, 210. Kamala's at 113. Trump's at 210.
Interesting.
It's gonna be a nail biter. I know it's a
close
is.
One. I don't think the big states, Texas and Florida, I think already came through. But
yeah, Trump has won those. But there's a lot more. We're not political pundits by any means. No. But I really think it's gonna come down to those swing states.
Yeah.
Like my wife just said, he leads Pennsylvania right now, and that is a swing state. Yeah, that's a huge state to win in this election. So, well. All we can do is pray. It's God's plan. So
that's right.
Sit here and watch.
No matter who's president, the Lord will still be Lord tomorrow. So, you know, it is what it is. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining Take Off. A little bit of politics there. You never know. You know.
Politics, religion. Let's throw it all there.
God and football. What more can you ask for? You know what I mean? So hope you guys have a great rest of your week. We should see you Thursday. You never know. But enjoy some football, get some wins in fantasy, and you know we're here if you need us. Have a good one.